That horse, it got blocked a little bit, got a little trouble around the turn. It lost by about yay. About yay. Now I'm looking for tall buildings to jump off of. This horse is 40 to 1. Mark has just lost 16 races in a row. This is number 17. He lost by this much to trouble on a horse that was 40 to 1. You know what he did? He turned to me and his eyes were just glowing and he said, "Wasn't my handicapping just perfect in that race? I am so proud of I'm so pleased my handicapping is really right on today. This is great." Yeah. Yeah. I can't do that, friend. I just can't do that. Betting entries saves you from having to do that. Huey Moll gave me a little phrase that I kind of like, the velocity of money. When you're betting two horses, you're winning so many more races. Even though, you know, on the surface, what difference does it make? You bet $4 and one horse, or, you know, $2 and one horse, $4 on two horses, $6 on three. It doesn't seem to make much difference. The difference is if you're using some sort of a rational money management scheme and you're betting one horse, you have to expect those long runouts. 10 in a row is not unusual. If you're betting 10% of bank and you lose 10 in a row, what do you got left? Well, it's not quite zip, but it's getting there. You're really devastated. If you're betting one horse, 2% or 3% of bank is about as bold as you want to go. Now, Howard Mitchell, I used to hang out with Dick Mitchell a lot. I met him in Mark Kramer's class. And I owe him a lot. I owe him a lot of my disciplined approach to racing because he's a mathematician. And mathematicians, when it comes to money, have very little emotion. At least they try not to. They talk it that way. I thought he was telling the truth. So he said, "Well, this is what you do. This is the rational way. Kelly criteria, bonk, 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 bonk." I did it. It worked. I never stopped. I've gotten used to the idea that I make all betting decisions at the start of the year, perhaps. How many of you had trouble when you go to the track making betting decisions? How much do I bet on this horse, that horse? Think about that. That's a big... I never do. I have made my betting decisions before I go to the track. I was out in the infield at Santa Anita this last season. A couple clients were sitting there with me. I had announced that after the seventh race, I was having to leave to go pick up my son at the babysitter's. Comes the seventh race. We're watching the horses run around, root, 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 root. Our horse wins, hooray, hooray. And I pull out my notebook, and I start entering the bet. And I write down, and I wait for the prices. I write down the amount I want. And I also fill in my next bet. The fellow sitting next to me, who's kind of interested in my notebook, says, "Oh, have you decided to stay?" I said, "No. I have to go get Max." I said, "Oh, well, are you going to leave a bet in the ninth?" I said, "No. I have to go get Max. I haven't looked at the ninth." He says, "Well, you got something good in tomorrow's? Did you get tomorrow's form already?" I said, "No. I'll buy it on the way out." He said, "How can you know what your next bet's going to be? You don't know what the race is. You don't know what the horse is. You don't even know when you're going to play. It may not be tomorrow. Maybe the next day." I said, "I always know what my next bet's going to be. My next bet's written down before I open the form. My next bet's written down before the season starts. My next bet's always the same." The only money management decision that I leave for the track is, do I play this race or not? That's it. If I play the race and I love it, I bet the next bet. If I play the race and it's very marginal, I bet the next bet. That's sort of fascist money management, I understand, and most of you will not be comfortable with that, but if you'll try it, you'll find you make more money. Okay, let's talk about money management. I've given out this plan for quite a while, but I just recently learned a new wrinkle from a fellow up in Reno who I went to a workshop that he gave just recently. And he had a new wrinkle on this plan that I kind of like, so I'm going to give you that too. But basically, let's just talk about money management. Now, what's the first and most difficult step in money management? The first and most difficult step in money management is writing down your bets. Most of you don't do it. I know that. I won't even ask for hands. It costs... This is a very expensive money management plan. It costs 79 cents to implement. You buy yourself a notebook. A little spiral-bound job. Perfect. And in that notebook, you write down your bets. Not just the serious bets. Not just the bets that you really mean. All of the bets. It's just that simple. If it's a bet, you write it down. You write down nothing else. You don't write down your racing form. You don't write down your entry to the track. You don't write down hot dogs. You don't write down any of that stuff. If you want to keep that in another notebook, fine. Be my guest. But you write down your bets. That's your income stream. All the rest of that is expenses. You don't mingle expenses and income in a decent bookkeeping system. Now, I'm going to recommend that you start kind of low. There's two reasons. I started this way, and I found it very comfortable. And the second thing is, if you're not so very good, you're not a great handicapper, you don't want to start high, right? On the other hand, if you are pretty good, that low will zoom right up to levels that you're uncomfortable with in a big hurry. So don't worry about it. The first step, and every once in a while I kind of forget this first step, but it is an important one, is to play on paper until you have a positive return. If you're not positive, that's the first step, get positive. And I'm not talking about positive thinking here. I'm talking about positive cash flow. If you can't do it on paper, I guarantee you can't do it at the track. Paper is much easier. You don't have that terrible decision anxiety. Get positive on paper. Take 50 races. 50 races? Oh, my God. Play on paper for 50 races, I'd have to miss going to the track for a week, 2 weeks. Yes. We're talking about a business here. Until you're positive, you don't want to go to the track. But once you're convinced that you can show any kind of a profit, be it 1% or 50%, once you're positive, it's time to start betting real money. Because you will find that if you're showing a 40 or 50% return on investment on paper, it is almost guaranteed to go down at the track. I would recommend that you play on paper until you're a little more positive than 1%, but you can go at that. Aim at 10, 15%, something like that. It's not difficult. And it does not take a 63% win percentage to do it. If you can do it with a 35 or 40, 45% win proficiency, that's fine. My most profitable 2 weeks in my four-year career was opening 2 years ago at Hollywood Park, the first 2.5 weeks. I drove a 58% win proficiency over that time and a $17 average mutual. I made money like it was going out of style. Other times I have hit as high as 80%, again for short periods, a couple weeks. And at the end of that time, of course, I made money. But I said, gee, I really didn't do as well as I thought I did. My average mutual was down in the $7 range. You're going to find that, unfortunately, the two sort of fluctuate in an inverse proportion. Everyone wants to win 80% with a $15 average mutual, but I don't know anyone that does it. When the mutuals go up, the races get tough, and you lose a few. When the races get easy, you're not the only one out there trying to win. You're not the only one out there with a racing form. When they have standout horses, they not only stand out to you, they stand out to everybody. Even the dummies on TV get the races sometimes. And the mutuals go down. Back to life. Don't let it worry you. Mutuals are something that are out of your control. Insist on your minimum, whatever it is. 3-2 is what Huey Maul recommends, but that assumes a 70% win percentage. Once you know your win percentage, then you can't do any of this stuff without records. Once you know your win percentage, you just say, okay, if I only win 50% of the races, I'm betting $4 a race, I got to have an $8 average mutual. Because I'm going to lose $8 for every $8 I win. That breaks even. So if it's over 8, you know, over 2-1 on my entry, take it. You can figure this kind of stuff out. It's not difficult. At some of our other seminars, I've sat and worked through with people, but I don't think the math is so difficult. Buy one of Huey Maul's books or something. There's a number. Dick Mitchell has some good books out on money management. If you're professionals and have professional aspirations and have set professional goals, one of the things you will do is seek out knowledge in your profession. I buy everything that's printed on racing. I'm next to a standing order at Gambler's Book Club. If it's on thoroughbred racing, I'll buy it. If I don't like it, it goes on the shelf. If I do like it, I'll think about it a little bit. But I want to keep apprised of the situation in my profession. I want to know what my competitors are doing. Now, this is pari-mutuel gambling, pari-mutuel wagering. What they do is as important as what you do. If they start doing the same thing that you're doing, you're in trouble. You have to think about these things. Luckily, they seem to be going in another direction. This value-based handicapping is very, very popular. And I really think there's a basic fallacy. They're trying to predict the outcome of a race exactly, and I think that's a real problem. I don't really care about the outcome of a race. Win, lose, doesn't really matter. Howard says the only difference with no, it's not Howard, it's Dan Duran, says the only difference between a win and a loss is with the loss, you don't win. But they're all just part of a stream.
Well, you didn't show that to me.
It's just all part of you. You don't expect to win them all. It's like a baseball player. Going up, makes an out, goes back, kicks his helmet, rages around, tears up the clubhouse. No. Baseball players, the best baseball players in the world, fail 70% of the time. You're going to pay, you expect, go out to the races, I go out to the races expecting to lose 30% of my bets. Sometimes 40%. Doesn't bother me. It's just part of the process. So, start approaching this like a professional. Have a game plan involved. Do some reading and see what your competition is up to. And then notice what an advantage you have over that competition. And then let that advantage work for you. That's the amount that I suggested you start with. Because that's what I started with. I sold an article to Gambling Times for $200. Which, by the way, tells you why there are so very few professionals writing in the horse racing field. That's sort of the going rate. $200. A few weeks before, I had, actually a few months before, I had sent away after a nice exacta hit, I decided to treat myself to a few things in racing. A few things, since I wrote for Gambling Times, I could get almost everything free, but there were a few holdouts. The books I had to buy. And this crazy thing called the Sartan methodology. They wouldn't give me a freebie either, damn them. So I had to send away and buy this sucker. And I got this yellow manual and a computer disc that did not work. I'm serious. Whatever horse you came in, it gave you the same numbers. It was a great disc. I liked it a lot. I mean, you put a sprinter at router at always. The programmer made a little error in there. I couldn't figure it out. I threw it in the drawer. I tried to read that phase 3 manual. It didn't make any sense. You can turn it upside down. Man, this is what sense is right side up.
Like the follow-up.
Yeah.
At least the half that you run.
So I looked at this. I said, hey, this doesn't make sense. Besides which, I didn't know there was any magic here. I had a stack of systems. Stacks. Everyone wanted me to review their systems. Put it in Gambling Times. They thought that was great. Anyway, I went to one of these seminars. I sat way in the back. We had about this many people in a room, about the size of the one across there. I mean, we were real good friends by the end of that seminar. Howard had done a real good job of raising them. We were all squozed in. We were it was just terrible. But I caught the magic. I heard Jimmy talk, Michael talk, Howard talk, and I said, there's something here. This is great. I just sold an article for $200. I started with it. I have never put another dime into my racing bankroll. People ask, are you really successful? People ask, if you're so good, why aren't you rich? I am rich.
All goes into his wardrobe, too.
You betcha. Hey, listen, I'm looking good today. I'm wearing long pants, shoes, everything. I dressed up. I got a $250,000 house. I don't have a mortgage. I told my wife, take a year off work. I'll support you. I got a 2-year-old that I play with, sometimes 4 or 5 hours a day. I have money in the bank. I'm rich. That's my definition of rich.
Don't go through his library, because if you open a book, $100 bills fall out of all of it.
No, they don't. I have a safe. I'm not as casual as you are, Howard.
If I had no house, you couldn't get in the room anyway.
You betcha. I have a sloppy office. I walk to work every morning in my underwear. And I don't wear a tie for any man. To me, that's rich. And I did it with this $200 bankroll. You bet to win. At least to start. I'm not going to tell you you're going to bet to win forever, because I don't. I bet other things too. Now, I'm a wimp. I bet the place and show. Some of you are going to want to bet to exact it. Trifectas, super tries, twin tries, pick sixes, pick nines. I keep waiting for the, pick 40 for the week. You bet to win. 5% of your bankroll. Wait a minute. That's only $10. That's chump change. You can't make any money on $10. Yes, you can. Just you wait. 5%. Bet to win. Split it 60-40. If you're mathematically inclined, the engineers among us, you may Dutch to the odds if you prefer. You don't know what Dutching to the odds really means? Good. You don't want to know. 60-40 will do nicely. 60% of your money goes on the horse that will pay the least, the low odds horse. 40% of the money goes on the horse that will pay the most, high odds horse. That's as complex as it gets. All betting decisions are right here on this piece of paper. You have no flexibility whatsoever. The only choice left to you is to pass a race. If you kind of like this race a little bit, maybe, and they don't scratch this horse, oh, okay, I could pull a little into this race. You bet 5%. On the other hand, if it's your pick of the day, you have been dreaming about this horse since you saw him in the racing form. This is the best horse you have ever seen, and he's 36-1. You bet 5%, split 60-40. And if he's 36-1 and you love him, and your other horse, who you don't like quite as well, is 3-1, your 36-1 horse gets the 40% in. No flexibility here, friends. Money management shouldn't be flexible. Money management is not a decision-making thing. You make your decisions in here. The decision you make is, I'm going to try a professional approach to the races. Unless you are exceptional, and I only know two or three people who are. Andy Beyer can do it. He's not here. Tom Brohammer can do it. They have reliable feelings about a race. I don't have them. Howard admits he doesn't have them. When I really feel strongly about a day or a race, I'm just as likely to lose that race as when I feel, eh. Until you develop reliable feelings, stay with this. What are you going to do? You're going to double your bank to $400. Take a $100 profit, leaving you with a $300 bank. You're going to bet exactly the same way, to win only. Except now you're going to bet 7.5%. Calculator time. And you'll write down that bet before you make it. Now, the man who wanted to double his bankroll every week. Let's say this takes a week to do. Great. Let's say it takes a month to do. Great. Let's say it takes 8 years to do.